Hello and welcome to Guy Perryman Interviews. Our travel companion today is Hank Santos, the actor who plays the director in the Broadway cast production of A Chorus Line touring Japan. The conversation took place backstage at Bunkamura Orchard Hall in Tokyo in August 2022 and was first broadcast across Japan on my InterFM radio show. Enjoy the journey. Backstage at Bunkamura Orchard Hall, straight after the performance of A Chorus Line, and I'm very, very lucky to have one of the cast here. Lovely to meet you. Good evening.
Nice to meet you too. Good evening. Thanks for coming.
Well, thank you. Thanks for taking your time. Straight after the show, how are you feeling?
I feel good. I love watching this show. I mean, I am in such a unique position in this show where my character kind of gets to observe the whole thing.
Right.
So it hypes me up more than anything. Everyone else is like exhausted and I'm just like, this is awesome. I love theater. You know, at the end.
You're sort of on the side or at the front with the microphone all the time.
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah.
Let's open the interview as the actual show opens. Introduce yourself. Tell me your real name and your character's name.
My real name is Hank Santos. My character's name is Zach. He is the very driven director of the show that he is casting. And the whole show takes place in the audition of his show.
Playing this character, I wonder, do you sometimes get a little jealous and like, gee, I wish I was up on the stage dancing more?
Man, definitely. I mean, like, well, this is one of those shows where like everybody in it is a triple threat to the nth degree. I mean, like, these kids are insane. And I have a dance background, but I danced when I was very, like, 12 to 15. And then I kind of, like, you know, I grew up, like, playing in bands and stuff. I kind of wanted to do that instead. Oh. So it reminds me of, like, those days and, like, just getting to watch them do what it is and, like, see them all be a community up there, especially in the group numbers, is, like, so, of course, it makes me jealous.
You mentioned the community, and I've spoken with so many people in arts and entertainment, particularly theater.
Yeah.
And film, too, I think. And over the period of time when you're working with everyone, it does really become a community, a family. And you see that on the stage. That's what this show is really all about, too, building that community and the friendships and the trust with people. And it must be really like that in the real world.
Oh, definitely. I mean, like, I love everybody in this cast. And I don't say that just because, like, you're recording me right now and I'm like, oh, everybody is, they're such a unique individual, which is a big part of the show, too. It's about the dancers in the background of a musical and their lives and what they're, you know, where they come from, where they grew up. It talks about, like, how they came to where they are. They're not just a blank figure in the background doing a step touch. And I've gotten to know all of them on that level, and I love every single one of them.
It's wonderful here in Tokyo having a Broadway show with a Broadway cast. Give us a very brief background on how the show came together, its production came together.
So there was a call for this particular production back in, gosh, they were casting it for a while at the beginning of the year. And a lot of people in this current show have done it before in previous iterations of it. It's my first time ever doing it. I had seen it when I was like 18, 26 now. And I knew of it and I definitely wanted to do it. But so when I saw the call for Zach, I submitted through my agent and I got a call back. I did 3 rounds of callbacks for the show. And the final round, I remember they were like, yeah, we like you, but like, we need some age on you. Like, would you be willing to come in with some, like, grow out your beard for an audition?
Oh.
And you can't see me on this thing, but I cannot grow facial hair to save my life. So
you're still a kid.
Yeah, we faked it. Still a kid at 26.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Yeah, we faked it with some makeup in the callback. I had to get on the subway with that makeup. That was a fun day for me. And then finally, I got the call from them and I was like just stoked on it. I mean, what you saw on that stage and like the nerves and the process of auditioning, it's exactly like it in real life. I mean, the whole time you're just like, you're going through this roller coaster of emotions of like, I think I got it. I think I killed that. Or like, oh my God, he hated me and I'm never going to work again. And that's exactly how it was through this.
Well, I was going to ask you, A Chorus Line is a show about showbiz. And do you relate to any particular character in the show? And obviously, I mean, your life experiences have probably reflected exactly what you see on the stage there.
Oh, absolutely. I think in a way, I relate to a lot of them. It's hard to pinpoint one specifically for me. I would say I relate in a lot of ways to the people who are cut at the very end. Because I know that feeling. That's a tough feeling to stomach, because you see them go through this long day of just endless dance numbers and callbacks and songs and all this stuff only to make it to the very end and have your name called forward and they go, thank you very much. And then that's all you're ever going to hear from them. So that moment specifically when they get cut at the end and they have to do this walk of shame off, I've been there. That sucks. Can I say sucks?
Sorry. You can say whatever you want.
Sick. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, man. And, but at the same time, I've also had moments where like, the people who are left and they got the job and they're waiting, you know, you hear that for the first time, that relief that just washes over you for, cause this business is so uncertain, you know, like, and so knowing that you have paid work for the next however long, it's just like, oh my God, this weight off my shoulders. It's amazing.
When you don't get the part, how do you wake up the next day happy and keep on going forward?
You gotta be, tough, and you gotta be an individual too. You have to have a life outside of this. I tell a lot of people, cause like, I know people, especially in this business, that this is their whole, they breathe and like live theater at all times. And so when they don't get the job, there's nothing left for, you know, it is the end of the world for a lot of them. So I tell people all the time, like, get, this is gonna sound mean, get a life outside of this, you know, because it's great that to have passion for this, but you also have to, you have to have friends, you have to have hobbies, you have to have things that keep you going outside of this, because this is not a guaranteed thing for anyone. It's rare to consistently work in this business. Only the top like 5% of people in theater are working all the time. You know, everyone else is unemployed, waiting tables or whatever else. And I've done it all. So.
Well, I'm very glad you're here in Japan for a month. That's good. So.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Thank God. Yeah. It feels so good.
A Chorus Line debuted on Broadway in 1975, and here we are in the 21st century. Why is it still enduring? Why do people love it still?
It's about the human condition. You know, this show is just about people, and every single person in this show has a story, regardless of like the era that it is. There are some, you know, references to the 70s in the show that maybe don't translate as well to now. But that's more like, you know, when they talk about Robert Goulet and people like that. But everything else, it's just about the human condition. I mean, we all go through these things. We all go through times where we have this dream and you're at a point where maybe your dream is not going to be the path that you get to follow. You know, you hear it at the end. They're like, I don't know. Am I growing up? Do I want to do Broadway forever and be a chorus girl? Or do I want to open a dance studio and actually make some money and get my life going, you know? Like, how long am I going to keep chasing this if it's so uncertain? Yeah.
Pandemics aside, musical theater, musical film has just been booming for a number of years now. I mean, it's a great business to be in. And I think theater itself too, people are loving going out.
Yeah.
That must be good for you.
It's great. God, it's so great. At the start of the pandemic, I remember I had just joined the SpongeBob musical tour. And that was my first national tour. And I was so, so excited. And I remember when that all went down, it was tough to stomach. And so there was this longing for theater in my life for so long. And, you know, we kept hearing, you remember how it was. We kept hearing, oh, it's going to be open by June. Okay. No, it's going to be open by August. Okay. The winter, definitely it's going to be open. And then we're just, you know, there we are 2 years later. So getting to see people come back out and like getting to do it again, it's sweeter now than it ever was, you know?
I always speak with people about the power of music, and I think art, theater, the arts in general, we turn to those in troubled times. For yourself, do you turn to music? Do you turn to dance or theater or the arts when you're getting through a tough situation?
I turn to everything that, you know, I can grab hold of. I've got my music ready. I've got my, you know, I do art and stuff outside of this too that I try to dive into. Every single thing that I can get my hands on, I try to dive in, because like that's, I'm very blessed in that way, that that's how I've kind of set my life up. I've always loved art. I knew it was what I wanted to do, whether it's this or making music or painting or whatever. I've always been a very artsy person.
Did someone or something come into your life when you were very young that got you on this trajectory?
You know, I think it was punk rock, honestly. I mean, like, I don't know if you can tell by looking at me. I mean, I'm covered in tattoos and, you know, not exactly the Zach character. But when I was like a teenager, I remember seeing, I think it was Black Flag, my uncle introduced me to or something. And I saw these like crazy, angry, artsy dudes just like going at it. And then through that, I found, you know, like the Sex Pistols and the Dead Boys and all that stuff. And seeing like this really wild, like, just nothing held back thing. And I was like, that is sick. That's what I want to do. Like, I don't want anyone to tell me what to do, or like, I don't want to like get stuck in an office or anything like that. So, and like, I grew up playing in bands and all that. So that was just my, like, that was my awakening, I guess you could say.
Any more bands on the way?
Hopefully. Oh my gosh. I live in New York City now, and you know, it's hard to network in the pandemic age. But hopefully, right now I'm kind of trying to do my own thing, so to speak. I say that in quotes because like I always put it off. But you know,
you've got a day job now. Well, a real job.
Yeah, yeah. Thankfully, yeah, I know. Yep. Can't really beat this as a day job, huh?
Say night job.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
You just entertained me for 2 hours. What do you hope the audience walk away from when they go out for a night like this?
You know, with this show specifically, with theater in general, I hope that they go out and I hope that they went through something. I hope that's we awaken some emotions in them. Maybe we help them discover something about themselves or, you know, see somebody else's perspective. But with this show specifically, I hope that people leave and they see that all the people in the background of these shows that they go see, those are all people with stories. Those are all people who go through every single thing that, you know, every other human goes through in their life. They've had awakenings. They've had struggle. They've had hardships. They've had to fight tooth and nail to get just in that back row, you know? And I hope that when they go see another show that they recognize that instead of just seeing, because sometimes dancers kind of blend in with the scenery to some people, you know? And I hope that they kind of like, it expands their horizon as far as these shows are concerned.
If your life could be a musical, which one would you like it to be?
Oh, man. I mean, dude, it's so corny, but I want to say Rent. You know, I just like, I mean, I don't want to struggle in New York City paying my rent or anything like that, but like, that's my vibe. And that's sort of the stuff that really gets me going is like that sort of rock and roll type stuff. So definitely not the subject matter of the show, but definitely the aesthetic I'm all about.
Actually, speaking of that, a completely self-indulgent question, because I'm writing a story, I've been writing a story for a number of years, which I would love to see one day as a musical on stage. Any advice?
Keep doing it. Dude, don't stop, please. I mean, there's enough room for all the art that anyone ever wants or needs to make. I mean, please just keep it going. I mean, keep that ball rolling. Don't let anyone tell you that it's not this or it's not that or whatever. Take everything with a grain of salt. Please let us see it. Let us hear it, man.
Oh, one day, I promise, one day. I love that feeling when you walk into an auditorium before a show. You often hear the orchestra tuning up and just the buzz.
Yeah.
And there's the ripple of excitement through the audience. When you're backstage before you go on stage, just before curtain up, how are you feeling?
I get, sometimes I get excited. Sometimes I get a little anxious. Depends on sort of the day. There are days where everyone has those days. You wake up and you're just not feeling it, you know? And this is very much a job. You know, I'm so grateful to have this, but there are days where it's very much like, man, I got to go out and say 5, 6, 7 days as loud as I can and do this and that, you know? And, so sometimes I'm just trying to get myself, I kind of try to check in with myself and remind myself how lucky I am to get to do this. I try to remember, you know, like my favorite parts of the show or what parts that maybe I need to do a little bit differently or louder or softer or whatever. It's just kind of a moment where I get to like check in with myself, which is meditative in a way, you know.
The show is running for around about a month here in Japan. Are you going to have time to get out and see a bit of Tokyo or Japan?
I will make sure that I get time to see Japan. I never thought I would be here. And so like
your first time?
First time ever. And hopefully not the last, because literally the second we got off the plane, I mean, we were greeted with like the absolute nicest, most accommodating people ever. I mean, I've never experienced politeness like this. And like, and they're so great and they love the show. And but like, you know, I've always wanted to come here. I just never thought it'd be in my reality, you know? And getting to be like paid to be here and have people come and see us, like that's insane to me. Like I'm living a dream right now.
Is there anything you've noticed since you've been here? Is there anything about Japan you're like, wow, maybe the rest of the world don't know about this? Is there something you'd like to take from Japan to the rest of the world?
Definitely. I think so. New York City, where I live right now in Japan, are like night and day difference. I think the manners of Japan, I think we could definitely use in the States. I think like everybody here, you know, they want to help you. When we went exploring the first day, you know, we got a little turned around, right? And the first, like, even people that couldn't speak English and, you know, we were desperately trying to find, oh, like, what subway line are we supposed to be on right now? They're helping us and they're so thrilled to help because they're just nice, kind people. And that's such an important thing in this society as far as I've seen so far. In New York, somebody might, you know, you say, hey, where am I going? Get out of my way. You know what I mean? Like, that's just how it is. Yeah.
Final question. I always like to ask people, if you're going on a journey and you have a travel companion, if you could sit down and have a conversation with anyone in the world from history or from today, who would you love to have a conversation with?
Oh, man, that is such a good question. You know, I would love to talk to Michael Bennett. Yeah, I think I've heard so much about him through the process of this show. And Bjork has absolutely kept his legacy just alive. And when you think about it, like this show back in when they were doing it originally in the 70s, it was like experimental theater. I mean, this was breaking so many barriers. And to see like, to be able to hear about like the process of going through that and having a lot of people be like, this probably isn't going to work, or, you know, this is like a very strange way to do a show. Having somebody find success with like something completely unheard of is wild. I mean, you know, it's groundbreaking. I would love to talk to somebody who's been through that and like seen the successful end of it, you know?
And you think the risks they took and then how successful the show ended up being.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I mean, like, because nobody really believes you until you've got the accolades, right? Like nobody really, there's a lot of people that are going to doubt you at first with something that they've never seen before because they just don't know how to take it, you know? And I think this is a perfect example of that. I mean, this is one of the most iconic musical theater shows of all time. There's been references to it in other musicals, you know? And so like to be able to see that as it's being formed would be just unreal.
Better ask you one more question. Do you have a favorite number from the show?
Oh, dude. So the middle show where they're talking about being like kids and growing up, the montages, as they're called, that is my favorite thing to watch by far because there are so many layers to those numbers. You'll never catch them all in the first time. And I, like I said, I sit in the back with my microphone, you know, and I get to watch it all the time. And there was moments tonight where I was like, oh, that's what she said. Like, and I see it for the first time and I'm like, oh my God, this is awesome. And that's when everybody is, you know, they're at their most human because they're talking about like being a kid and being embarrassed by their parents and, you know, stuff we've all been through, you know, and like, and the dance numbers are sick too. So it's just like, oh, this is awesome, you know?
Well, I've had an awesome, awesome evening and a wonderful conversation. Thanks for the entertainment. Thanks for the conversation. A director and a star of the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, man.
Enjoy Japan.
Thank you. I will. I definitely will.
And thank you for joining us today. For more interviews and information, please go to guyperryman.com.